Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Hunter, for reading that for us. If you would, Hunter read there from Ephesians chapter 2. If you keep your Bibles turned there, the bulk of today's lesson will come from there. A little slight confession here. I told Kyle already, sometimes when I pull some notes together, I can't always remember if they're my notes or somebody else's notes. So if this is a duplicate lesson, I apologize in advance, but I promise the material within was either my subconscious bringing it back up or fresh ideas for you to consider. But have you ever considered what it means to be far off? It's a phrase that we might use commonly, but might not ever stop to think about. We know that far off speaks to us of a distance, but it usually means more than that. It usually carries a negative sense to it. It suggests that something is not where it ought to be. For instance, maybe you've decided to tackle a home project. You've measured twice, you've cut that board, and then you place it up there and you only realize that your measurement was far off. Or maybe back before smartphones, you were driving somewhere and you're following a map, and you just knew you were getting close, only to realize that you might have been far off. Or maybe you're feeling pretty good about your flossing habits, and you go to the dentist and you find out that you're far off there too. But in all seriousness, this is a question that I would like us to keep in mind today as we go through the lesson. So as Hunter read there for us, let us look at that again, and then this time we'll add verse 12 there from chapter 2. And just a little context here that Paul is reminding the Gentile Christians what life was like prior to being with Christ, the outside of God's covenant and promises. But Ephesians 2, verse 12, remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Paul describes what that far off condition is like, looked like. To be far off is to be without Christ. To be far off is to be an alien or a stranger from the covenants to the promises of God. To be far off is to have no hope. To be far off is to be without God in the world. So when Paul here is speaking of far off, he's not merely talking about a mood, nor is he talking about somebody having a bad week. He is speaking of a spiritual condition. To be far off is to be outside Christ, outside of hope, and without God in the world. So that makes the phrase all that much more serious than maybe what we first assume. Sometimes we might hear Bible verses or phrases so often that we really stop hearing them. Far off can maybe to us sound mild. But Paul does not mean it mildly. Far off is not a mild condition. It is a lost condition. The one who is far off does not merely need advice, does not necessarily need encouragement or improvement. What they need is to be brought near. If you think of a fireplace on a cold winter day, now that we're transitioning into spring still and it's still cold, but from, if you're far off from a fireplace, that fire does you no warmth, gives you no warmth, does it? So there in verse 12, I want you to notice that that verse starts with the word remember. Again, Paul wants them to remember what they once were, but furthermore, what they were once without. That matters because as a people, we tend to forget what we were without Christ. We might start to begin to think lightly of God's grace. We might begin to think lightly of God's mercy. We might begin to think lightly of what it means to be brought near. We could forget what the blood of Christ cost. So Paul, in effect, is saying, do not forget where you once stood. So if that is the condition, then what is the cause? What causes us to be far off? Well, the Bible plainly answers that in several scriptures throughout. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2 says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Sin separates. I was going to do the laser, but I guess I didn't think to see how to do it. But point here is, again, as Paul says we are brought near, he is talking about forgiveness and reconciliation to God. No longer separated, but brought back to God through Christ. As you can see here behind me, sin is not to be considered a small thing. It is not merely a flaw in our personality. It is the barrier that keeps us from God. Sin separates mankind from God. So as Paul says, men are far off from apart from Christ, he is not inventing a new problem in Ephesians. He is describing the old problem. The old problem of sin and separation, but now seen in the full light of the gospel. Oops. And because that is the problem, man cannot solve it by himself. If the problem were merely ignorance or weakness or behavior, then maybe education, discipline, or effort could fix it. But the problem is much deeper, is it not? And because the problem is deeper than what mankind can solve for himself, the far off cannot bring themselves near by their own merit or effort. So that is why Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 is such a precious verse. Paul does not say there, but now you've improved yourselves. Nor does Paul say, but you have finally found your own way. He doesn't mention self-improvement. He does not mention self-rescue. He does not mention self-salvation. What Paul does say is brought near by the blood of Christ. The cross is where the blood was shed, and the resurrection shows us that Christ's sacrifice truly accomplished what God had intended. Just as we sung a few moments ago, it was not defeat, it was victory. Death did not win. We do not serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen Lord who brings the far off near to him. Again, that is not self-rescue or self-salvation. That is the work of the blood of Christ. The far off are brought near, and they are brought near by the blood of Christ, the answer is in Christ. And Paul does not stop there. If we continue on, starting there at verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he may create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. I think Paul's point here is plain to see. Christ is our peace. Christ broke down the hostility and the division between the Jew and the Gentile alike. He reconciles us, and Christ gives us the access to God. And Christ is not just one answer that is possible among several. Christ is the answer. The only answer. So the heart of this passage is not merely that some people once felt distance. It is that those who were outside, alienated, hopeless, and without God are brought near through the blood of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says so plainly, for there is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Not many, just the one. And if that is so, then being brought near is not something that can happen apart from Christ. And when I say come to Christ, I do not mean just a vague emotional response. It is a call to him in obedient faith. To hear his word, to believe in him, to repent of our sin, to confess his name, to be baptized into him for the forgiveness of sins, and the most important step, to continue to walk in him faithfully. That is what coming near to Christ looks like when faith submits to the gospel. Now I want us to slow down and think about and ask this next question. Why does this matter so much? Well, as I stand before you today, I believe the answer to be this. God wants to dwell with his people. This is not merely changing our status or escaping condemnation. But thank God it includes that. But this is about being brought near to God himself. If you listen again there to verse 18, for through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. And then later, if you skip down to verse 22, Paul says, in him you are being built together a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Is that not a beautiful truth? God is not merely saving isolated people and then leaving them alone. He is building up a people. He is making a dwelling place. He is bringing people near to him. If we stop and consider all of this, I believe we can see that this has always been part of God's plan and desire for us. From the garden onward, we can see. Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, God says, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell in their midst. In the New Testament, when John first is talking of Christ, John chapter 1, verse 14, the first part says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And even in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, we see, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God." And these are just three simple verses throughout the many that I could have chose throughout the Bible that speak of God's desire to dwell with his people. Even in an event that we are familiar with each and every Sunday that we think of Christ going to the cross is the tearing of the veil from the top. And that in itself points to God wanting to be with his people. When Christ died, that veil of the temple was torn in two. That's no small detail. It showed that through his death, access to God was open again. The far off can now be brought near, not because separation never existed, but because Christ has become the mediator through whom sinners may come to the Father. So as you consider all of this, do you see why being far off is so concerning? But once it becomes clear to us that by the scriptures, that the dangers of being far off, then our hearts must be searched. It is one thing to understand what Paul meant here in Ephesians. It is another thing to ask, where do I stand before God? In John chapter 15, Christ shows just how necessary that nearness really is. As we've studied before and said in Bible studies and sermons before, a branch cannot live apart from the vine. It does not survive by appearing near the vine. It must abide. When Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you," he is showing us what real nearness is not just a merely outward appearance. It is a life in him. It is dependence on him. It is fellowship with him. Not outward religion, not words only, but a heart that loves Christ, keeps his word, and abides in him. So now the question becomes even more personal. Have I truly been brought near by the blood of Christ? That's a question worth asking, because it's possible to know the Bible and still not belong to Christ. It is possible to be around the things of God and still be separated from him. It is possible to speak as if we are near while our hearts remain untouched by the nearness Christ offers. A true believer does not stand on the outside trying to force their way in. The believer comes through Christ willingly. Our nearness is not self-made. It is bought at a price that only Christ could pay. It is bought with his blood. And because we know that that is true, Christians should never grow casual about grace, worship, and fellowship with God. Why? Because when we were apart from Christ, we were the far off. But by his blood, we have been brought near. But picture the other side, if you will, as well. If a person remains far off, that distance does not stay small. It does not stay temporary. It does not stay harmless. Do not try to solve distance from God by appearances. Do not try to solve it by words only. Do not try to solve it by hoping the problem is less severe than what the Scripture actually reads. Come to Christ. Come to the one whose blood brings near. Come to the one who is our peace. Come to the one through whom we have access to the Father. I want you to really hear the words from James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I like that wording. Purify your hearts. That fits exactly with what I've been trying to say here today. Christ is calling for a heart that truly comes near. Not mere words, not just outward form, but a heart that loves Him, keeps His word, and abides in Him. So let us come back to our question one last time. What does it mean to be far off? It means to be without Christ. Without Christ, we are truly without hope. And without hope, we are truly without God in the world. So now the final question is not if we understand that phrase. The question is whether we have experienced the answer. Are you still far off? Or have you been brought near by the blood of Christ? And if you say that you have been brought near, then ask yourself the following. Do you truly love Christ? Do you keep His word? Do you abide in Him, or are you trying to live without truly abiding in the vine? Here's the problem. Right now is the only time in which the far off may yet be brought near through Christ. Right now is the only opportunity. Because if a soul remains far off from God here and now, then one day soon, that distance becomes final. It will be everlastingly too late. That's why the gospel matters. That is why Christ matters. May we all remember what we were without Christ. May we rejoice in what Christ has done for the far off. And may every soul here today come truly, personally, and fully near to God through Christ Jesus. This lesson is yours if you need the prayers of the church. We'd be honored to pray with you or for you. If anybody is ready to obey the gospel, ready to come to Christ in obedient faith, believing, repenting, confessing His name, being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, please do not remain far off. Come as we stand and sing.